Hello, this is Chad Chancellor, co-founder of Next Move Group. In this video, we're going to talk about what economic development organizations can do to work well with your elected officials. So we've got another video within our movement that's elected officials training on what they ought to do for economic development. That's not this. That's the one you're looking for. Go get that one. This is about how the economic development organization, the board and the staff of EDO can work with elected officials. So from the economic development organization side, how should they work with elected officials? Not the other way around. So let's go ahead and get right into it. So number one, communication. We have done now hundreds of executive searches across the country. And when we're dealing with elected officials, they typically say, our economic developer don't tell us enough. They keep too much stuff confidential. So the economic developer and the board has to walk a fine line when you deal with your elected officials between communicating enough and keeping things confidential. You have to walk a fine line there. And so I would tell you, tell them as much as you possibly can when you can tell them stuff. Don't just keep things confidential just for the sake of it. Keep it confidential if you need to, but this is a balance, and this is the number one complaint that we hear when we go places. So, you hear in a lot of places that communication, that's the breakdown of most of our relationships when there's a communication problem. This is the hardest thing. And yes, as the economic developer, as the economic development board, you're going to have things you have to keep confidential. You've got to find a way to communicate with your elected officials. You also need to communicate to your elected officials what your businesses need. This is very important, very, very important. An elected official, let's just take somebody like the mayor. They get elected. They have 100 different things going at one time that they have to worry about, 100 different constituents. You, and they may not have come from the business world. They may not know. It's your job to communicate with them what our businesses need in this community so those elected officials can respond to that. Later on within here, we're going to show you ways that you can do that. That's coming. But as part of your communication, you want to tell them as much as you can that you're not bound by confidentiality, and you want to communicate the needs of the business community in your community. Don't ever let your elected officials hear that the town next door is winning a big project before you tell them. Don't let them read it in the paper. Because their constituents, their voters will attack them over that. In economic development, we all like to talk about regionalism, and I believe in regionalism, 100% I do. But elected officials, particularly local elected officials, they have to answer to the voters, and the voters may not understand the idea of regionalism. So, this doesn't mean you need to root against the project coming to the county next door. No, you need to help them, but what you don't want to do is let your elected officials wake up one morning and read in the paper this huge project's coming next door, and you didn't tell them. You didn't tip them up. They may be called by the press for a quote, and they may say the wrong thing, throw you under the bus. You don't want to let them hear these rumors and innuendos from other people. You want it to come from you. So what I used to do, and I stole this for the Mobile, Alabama Chamber. I worked for the Mobile Chamber when I got out of college. And one of the things that they did that I stole, and it worked for me everywhere I went when I went and ran my own economic development organization, they would send an insider's update, what they called it, to every elected official who represented them on a monthly or quarterly basis. Seemed like it was quarterly. So not only your local officials, but they would send it off to all the delegation in Montgomery and Washington, D.C. and so on, and even their staff members. And they would make them feel like an insider. I'm a subscriber to the New Orleans Saints Insider podcast, whatever. Makes people feel good. But they would tell us in this thing, and it would be marked confidential. But we wouldn't say who the project was or what, but we would tell as much as we could. We've got 14 projects we're currently working, 3 automotive suppliers, this, that, and the other, and we would send it to every city council member within our territory, every county commissioner, county judges, state representatives, so on and so forth, to make them feel like an insider. Communicate as much as you can. Don't only communicate about your projects, and you can talk in number. We're working 4 projects right now. 3 of them are still processing. 1's distribution, whatever the case may be. But also talk about your strategies. We're trying to develop this industrial part. We're trying to do that. Again, don't give away confidential information. What happened to me when I did this? And again, I copied it from the Mobile Chamber, but I did this when I ran organizations in Tennessee and Kentucky. People would call me and say, I appreciate getting your update. They would say that. Also, I would send it through the mail. You know, nowadays we get so many emails, we're inundated with emails. And I didn't want to make it something somebody could easily forward, because there may be stuff in there that I considered them getting this information as an insider. So I sent it through the mail. And so this may be something that you want to use. Now, you do need to explain to your elected officials why confidentiality is important, because they can get sued. They can really get them sued. They can cost themselves the next election if they go out there and get sued by a company for violating confidentiality. But you need to tell them as much as you can. I just want to hammer that point home over and over again from all the executive searches we've done. But feel free to show them these slides if you need to, about why confidentiality is important. So as we do these exec searches, sometimes elected officials say, well, they just tell us everything's confidential because they're not doing anything. They don't want us to know. They really don't understand the legal ramifications of it. So number one, if you're dealing with, and your board needs to understand this, if you're dealing with a publicly traded company and you violate their confidentiality about an expansion, you could absolutely get sued. That can affect their stock price. It can be considered securities fraud by the Securities and Exchange Commission. So if you're dealing with a publicly traded company now and they ask you to sign a confidentiality agreement, non-disclosure, you better honor that very, very well, because you could literally be considered insider trading or whatever if you go out and talk about that. Companies do not want their competition to know where they're planning to locate. It could affect their contracts, their future pricing, so they want you to be confidential for this reason. Companies don't want employees at existing facilities to know they're looking around, even if they're not moving it. Let's say a company's got a plant in Chicago and they want to expand and put one in St. Louis. They don't intend to move the Chicago one. The minute that word gets back to the Chicago plant, those folks are going to say, you know, we're all losers. They're moving this plant to St. Louis. It's human nature. So companies want to be able to control that. Companies don't want to spend money, and this happens all the time, spending money on due diligence for real estate, and then all of a sudden that property sold out from under them. I would say in small towns, this is your biggest problem that I typically find when a company's looking around. If the industrial authority doesn't own the land or whatever, I have had probably in my career 10 to 20 deals I've seen go bad where a company wanted to build an earth site, and all of a sudden some local, you know, person swooped in, thought, I'm going to make all this money, I'm going to buy it before them, run the deal, absolutely run the deal. So they don't want, you know, doing all this diligence on property, then somebody buy it from out from under. Companies can file suits against their own employees if leaking this information costs them customers. So let's say that whoever's running the project for a company, let's say it's company, you know, XYZ, and the VP is running the project, and suddenly, you know, it gets out that the VP said this. That company can fire or sue that VP for harming them and releasing confidential information. And insurance providers require companies keep certain information confidential. Part of their insurance policy, they have to go about that in a certain way. So they require that in many, many instances. Also, this happens a lot. The management team might not yet have the board approval to even do this project. So let me tell you how this would work. And that's because I've sat in these board meetings now on the private side. The board of directors may tell the management team, look, we want to expand. We want to add a new location. However, we want to keep our capital investment under $100 million, or we want to have a return on investment, you know, that's positive within 3 years. Go find a spot. Well, now that management team's out there looking for a spot, and they've got these metrics they've got to make work, and they may need an incentives offer to make those work. So they may really not yet have the board of directors having voted to do this. So, you know, and all of a sudden you got it out there doing this project they're not even doing yet. So this is another reason why confidentiality is important. If a company deals with federal contracts, Washington, you know, Department of Defense, Department of Energy type stuff, they literally might be prohibited from sharing where they intend to expand due to classified information. So this is another reason you can get yourself in trouble. And this really doesn't hurt the company, but it can hurt your community. If you're out talking about it, your neighbor could hear it. If you're out talking about this big project looking, the neighboring county can hear it, the neighboring city, the neighboring state, and they may come offer them a deal. I've seen people lose deals because somebody else heard it and went and offered them something better. So this is another reason you want to keep confidentiality important. But let me back up again. I'm telling you right now, if you're dealing with a publicly traded company You tell all your elected officials and your board, we cannot release this information. We can be sued for securities fraud. My God, let's say you do release it, and suddenly you determine that, you know, one of the board members' daughter bought stocks in this company. Oh, Lord, you can get yourself in all kind of trouble. You have got to keep it quiet, particularly if you're dealing with a publicly traded company. Now, this is something when I was an economic developer, I did not have a good sense for. But I do now that I've been on the private side now for, you know, we've had 600 clients. So I have this now. Walk a mile in your elected official's shoes. Now, when you think of this, you know, you may be thinking of one council member in particular, the mayor, but walk a mile in their shoes to really understand what they're dealing with on a daily basis. So their constituents, their voters are telling them they want jobs. You see it in every campaign that you turn on the television. We want jobs. We want jobs. We want jobs. It is one of the top things that, you know, comes up in a campaign. Well, we all know as economic development practitioners, your economic development board likely knows that business retention and expansion is the most important thing you could do. It's where 80% of the jobs come from. That doesn't move the needle with voters, though. That does not move the needle with voters, okay? So I've seen economic developers make a mistake, and I've talked to elected officials, you know, doing their searches. They'll say all our economic developer ever talked about was business retention expansion, and the voters want jobs. They're right. So even though you know as an economic developer, as an economic development board, how important BRE is, you have got to talk about a plan to create jobs. Even if you're not landing deals right now, you got to have a plan to create jobs that you can share with your elected officials so they can share it with their voters. Chances are they're funding part of your organization, and their voters want new job opportunities. Even if they don't want it, that's what they say they want. So don't overdo BRE from a PR standpoint. Yes, overdo it from really doing it, but don't make that your talking point every time you talk to elected officials. Talk about what are we doing to get new jobs in here. That's what their voters want to know. Also, remember, you may have a new mayor and their staff may not be aligned with them. You know, their city manager, they may have beaten the previous mayor. Their city manager, their zoning, building permit officials, they may not be aligned. They may not be following them one iota. So it may take a while. You know, that mayor may not have the support in their own staff. So you need to remember that. I once had a mayor who agreed to a deal with an industry, shook their hand, and got back, and both the staff and the rest of the council members, you know, didn't support them. And I was real mad at the mayor. But looking back, you know, maybe they should have done something different to get the support. They did not have the support, you know, so they were almost embarrassed. So just think about, you know, often you'll call, let's say your mayor. Mayor, we need to do this. We need to do that. They very well may not have the support behind them. So you've either got to help the mayor build that support or come up with strategies to do that. And they may not have the support of the other elected officials they need. Just because somebody's the mayor doesn't mean the council members support them. So on and so forth. So walk a mile in their shoes the next time you get aggravated at your elected officials. Because, you know, they talk out of both sides of their mouth. Walk a mile in their shoes. They may not have the council support or the staff support that they need to enact certain things that you want to get done. So why does all this matter? Why does economic development matter? We've talked about jobs, 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 jobs. Well, this story came out in November of 2020, and I've used it ever since. My niece is a school teacher in Mississippi, smart girl, but she's never really understood what economic development means. You know, it's just like brain surgeon. Those two words, you know, what did that mean? I sent her this article. This is Shell Oil's closing a refinery in rural Louisiana, St. James Parish, in Louisiana Parish's county. I want you to look over here. It's costing the county, which is a parish, 20% of their annual revenue. It's costing the school system 12% of their annual revenue. One plant closing is costing the parish, the county, 20%. Roads, bridges, fire, jail, everything. And costing the schools, buses, teacher salaries, ball team, 12% from this one plant. I sent this to my niece. She said, that's the first time I've ever really understood what you did. She said, I never knew when I got behind a log truck coming out of the industrial park, they were paying for the schools. It clicked for her. Maybe it'll click for you and your elected official. This is why this stuff matters. Now, look, the constituents want jobs. That's what the voters want. Jobs, jobs, jobs. But when it comes to why does it really matter, what you're trying to do, And if you can get your elected officials to see this, y'all will get along better. You want to get more tax revenue in your community and keep this from happening without having to raise taxes. You don't want to raise taxes to get more tax revenue. You want to draw it in from outside companies investing there, from your company selling more stuff elsewhere, for tourists coming there, so on and so forth. And you want to have a great program to stop this from happening. You know, stop the idea of losing 20% at one time. So the more healthy businesses you have paying in, the more property tax, inventory tax, and all you're going to have for all these government functions. That helps you start to show a return on investment. If your elected officials look at economic development as an expense, you're not going to get along very well. And they may look at expense on day one. It's your job to kind of show them the return on investment. Just show them this article. Say, can you imagine if we lost 20% by one company closing? If we lost 20%, can you imagine if our schools lost 12%? I bet your school board members don't know this. Maybe you need to get along with them as well. So, when it comes to business retention expansion, your elected officials need to be highly involved, but this doesn't need to be your only talking point. You need to talk about creating new jobs so they have talking points when they deal with the public. But how do you want to involve them? And business retention expansion for board members is nicknamed BRE. So if I say BRE, that's what I mean. Well, first of all, I got this from the Fort Collins, Colorado Chamber. It says that some study they had done, 10 to 15% of jobs disappear every year, meaning that communities must work hard just to stay even. You're going to lose 10 to 15% of your jobs every year. It's nobody's fault. Company closes, you know, maybe Chad one day, Next Move Group retires. There goes those jobs. You know, it just happens. Nothing you can really do about it. So we like to picture a bucket. You got water dripping out of that bucket at all time, 10 to 15%, whether you like it or not. So your job as economic developers, as elected officials, is to get more water in that bucket so you don't run dry, more tax revenue. Again, not from overtaxing the people there, but from getting new taxpayers in. That's what you really want to do. So there are two ways to do business retention expansion. I want to talk about both of them because I think your elected officials need to be highly involved in one of them. One is the survey method. What this does is once a year, you send a survey out to all of the businesses in your community. Maybe you get with a chamber of commerce or your city and see who all has business license, however you come up with the biggest list possible. And then you start tracking answers to questions by type business they are. Maybe all the restaurants this year complained about this. Maybe all the manufacturers this year, you know, rated you lower on, I don't know, electric cost. I don't know, you know, whatever the case may be. Over time, you can track macro problems in your community. You can show, hey, all our small business owners are dealing with this issue. This is a problem. All our real estate agents are dealing with this issue. And you want to make your elected officials know what those surveys are saying. Now, the first time you do the survey, it's almost useless because you don't have a baseline. If everybody rates your town a 2 out of 5 in business friendliness, it's not good, but it's almost useless. What you want to see is in year two, did we tick up a notch or down? If you're ticking down, you got to show that to elected officials. Why is this powerful? Now, you don't want the elected officials to run this survey. You want to explain to them what you're doing, then show them the results. Why is this powerful? Because now it's not one business complaining. It's not one business saying, oh, city's too hard to deal with. No, now you have an entire cohort of businesses. You know, all the distribution trucking companies said this. All the gas stations said this. To where you can now go attack that problem, make it well known. The other way to do BRE is called the continuing relationship method. Now, I don't really think elected officials need to do this, and here's why. This needs to be the economic developer, but they need to support what you're doing. I once, when I was an economic developer in Tennessee, I got a call from an industry that wanted to meet with me about expanding, and I went over, and I took the mayor. I wouldn't think anything out. I thought that'd be a nice thing to do. We had a nice conversation, didn't get a lot of detail. I got back to the office, the phone rung, and the owner of the business said, Chad, come back over here when you're alone. I said, okay, I'll be right back over there. He said, I didn't want to say all this in front of the mayor because I don't want a chance it ended up in the paper. We're looking at expanding, and I just want you to handle it. Here's what I want to do. See, he only wanted to tell me. Some economic developers will take elected officials with them on BRE visits, and I don't recommend that. I don't recommend it because they may not be as honest with you. You don't want to talk politics in those instances. What you really want to do is figure out how can I get to know the company, the folks at the corporate level. If this company's headquartered in Detroit and got a plant in Alabama, how do I get to know the folks in Detroit? That's what you really want to do. But you want your elected officials to know you're doing this. So when you come to them and say, this company's got a problem, you know, they got a pothole, an industrial part we need to, whatever, then you can go out there and attack that. But the survey method, you want your elected officials to see as you're tracking it so you can track trends about your business friendliness. So, you know, what are some of the questions that you might want to ask? Well, how do you rate our community as a place to do business? Then you have 1 to 5, poor, average, good, excellent. Why did you locate here? Interesting question. What are some challenges of conducting business here? Are you satisfied with our services and infrastructure? These are sample questions I have in here, right here. This is a question bank from University of Minnesota. If you want to do this for yourself, go to this question bank. You'll have access to these slides as part of either being a movement member or purchasing this video. Go to this question bank, and they have questions per type business you might want to ask. In other words, they may have different questions for small businesses than big business. But this is where you can see, and you want to track these issues over time and identify what businesses in the same clusters, what are issues they're all facing at the same time. That's what you want to do. On the other side, the continuous relationship method, what you want is your economic developer to go build trust and be likable amongst your existing industries. And you almost want to look for a problem, particularly if it's cheap. We'll talk about that in a minute. If you can solve a cheap problem, then you take that to your elected officials. I'll give you one of the best examples of this I ever heard. We had a prospect looking in between Fort Worth and Dallas in a small town north of Fort Worth. We had already done all the visits and all, and my client asked, could he speak with a plant manager alone without the economic developer or mayor in there, just us? I said, yes. So we go to meet with this guy. My client says, look, you probably don't want us here. We're going to compete for labor. What's the truth? He said, let me tell you the truth. He said, we're in the aerospace business. And for years, our industrial park out there was just beat up, all kind of potholes in it. And getting out to the main road, I was losing 3% of my product. Because, you know, the aerospace business, you can't have any defect whatsoever. Just the bumping around, I was losing 3%. I had to buy special packaging because of this. He said, the new mayor came to see me. And I told him, and I didn't think I'd ever think anything of it. And a week or two later, I look out, and they're paving the industrial park road, and they've kept it paved ever since. He said, that's why you ought to come here. What a story. See, as an economic developer, if you can find something like that and something cheap and easy, and you run, go take that to your elected officials to solve. Now you've got problems that you have solved for these companies that you can help with along the way. Now, I do recommend elected officials plant tours. I don't recommend elected officials going with you on every BRE visit you do. You may visit with 50 companies a year, but here's what I do recommend. Once a quarter, take your elected officials to tour a plant. I say plant because I'm more manufacturing, but it could be any type of business, whatever type of business you want. Take them to tour that. Does multiple things. I've seen this be very successful. It does several things. One, your elected officials are seeing the workers out in the plant as they're touring around. All right, those workers would be more inclined to vote for them. They care. See, that gives them a chance to see them in a working environment. Two, they get to hear from businesses from their own mouth what their issues are instead of just you hearing it. So you could almost build some camaraderie. Invite city and county officials too. Have the company give a little presentation to start the day about what they're doing, then give a tour. I would do this once a quarter. I did this several times in my career, and it always ended up good. Do this about once a quarter. And that way, they're still getting out and seeing the industries, but they're not going with the economic developer to every single visit. And find easy wins. As an economic developer, as an EDO, find you some easy wins for your elected officials, because this is going to come in handy in just a second. You're going to see what I'm building to. Road work and infrastructure is usually easy wins. Infrastructure may be a little more costly, but it's something easy for cities and counties to do. Find you some, you know, maybe they need a turning lane. Maybe they need a red light. I once had a community where, for some reason, three or four of the plants in the main park all let out at the same time. There was huge traffic jams. And their easy win was simply, can we stagger when people get off? You know, can you get off at 3, you 3:30, you 4? It's going to make this a lot better. For some reason, they didn't think of that. took the economic developer and the elected official thinking of that. So look for easy wins. Why do you want to look for easy wins? Because you need a role for your elected officials to play when prospects come to town. Now, sometimes your council members may not want to meet with prospects, but usually your mayor will, whoever's your chief elected official will. Why did we build up to this? What do you want your mayor, let's say, at the economic development prospect meeting saying? So many times I have been at economic development prospect meetings, and the mayor says, welcome to our town. You ought to come here. We got great people. You're salt of the earth, blah, blah, blah. And that's nice, but it's not really saying anything. Let me tell you what's powerful. You have your mayor say, you ought to come here because these are the last 20 problems I've solved for our businesses. These are the last 5 problems I've solved. Keep you a file on problems, particularly the little quick, easy ones. Look, like this. Keep you a file on the problems we have solved. So now when the mayor says, welcome to our fair city, I'm here to solve your problems, and I've got a track record. Here is a file I have of the last 32 problems I've solved for businesses in our community. Let me tell you something. That makes an impression. Now you have a role to play. So you want your elected officials to listen for problems. First of all, they need to know the problems they've solved. This is their role in a prospect meeting. Let me tell you right now, whether it's in your town or whether you fly somewhere. Let's say you get invited to fly to Boston to meet at the headquarters of a company. The mayor's role needs to be, here's the problems I've solved. Let me tell you, you're gonna win that project or get far down the line. So in the meeting, the mayor needs to listen to problems and determine, all right, would I have to, make a new policy to solve that, or be an ambassador where I go like ask the state to solve it, or is that not really a problem? I just need to sell these people that it's not. How then do you do that? Well, what you're describing reminds me of that problem I saw for, company ABC, and here's what I did. Keep a file of it. If you're wondering what most problems come from, you can simply look. According to Air Development Magazine or Site Selection Magazine, these, in the past year, are the most important criteria site selectors are looking for when they locate a project. Workforce is one. Transportation infrastructure is two. Ease of permitting regulatory is three. So right here, if your elected officials just focus on the problems they've solved here, maybe in transportation they ran a new road, maybe they passed a new one-stop quick permitting, whatever the case may be, you're going to be way better off. Now, let's talk about elected officials' roles in incentive policy, which is big because any incentive that you give is going to probably be passed by some elected body. So these are the most popular incentives that we see. And your elected officials need to know this so that they kind of know, is this something everybody asks for? Is it par for the course? Or, what might the case may be? So number one, property tax abatements. For a good manufacturing deal, not a super deal, not a 2,000 job, but 100 jobs, $50 million, probably the most popular property tax abatement is a 10-year property tax abatement. Most places, though, do not abate the school taxes. So you still get the school taxes, but that's kind of par for the course. So if that's what you're offering, you're probably tied. You're not winning. You're probably tied with other people. Within the last 10 to 20 years, this has become very popular. It's called tax increment financing. What this is, and you could use this for apartments, house, according to what state you're in, let me preface that. Each state has different laws around tax increment finance. As an economic developer, figure this out and make sure your elected officials know it. But basically, you can draw a circle. And any new tax revenue that's coming in there because of new development, you can use that additional revenue to help fund upfront infrastructure site development. Let's say that now off of this land, I'm drawing nothing because the city owns it. I'm getting no property taxes. And so-and-so is going to build a plant there, and now I'm going to get $20,000 a year. Well, that extra $20,000 I can use upfront after interest costs, bonding, to do site preparation, utility work, so on and so forth. Something that you ought to know a lot of folks are doing. Most all states offer state corporate income tax credits. So let's say you're the mayor and, you think, well, I don't need to give them a big property tax abatement. The state's giving them $50 million in corporate income tax credit. Rest assured, every state's giving them that. So that's not a differentiator. It's just not. So that's not going to help you, and you're going to be tied, par for the course. Workforce training funds every state gives. Some utility, so this is good to know if you've got a municipal utility system. A lot of utilities will give electric rate discounts the first year or two. So let's say eventually it's going to be 8 cents a kilowatt hour. They may start them at 6. Why is that? Because most plants lose money the first year. Even big plants, even, you know, Fortune 100 companies, they've got their rig equipment, hire employees, do all this stuff. So a lot of utility providers would give electric rate discounts at first. Some states give payroll tax rebates. Now, I now live in Florida. We don't have payroll tax, so there's no rebate to give. But some states give payroll tax rebates, and they'll require the local town to do that. Many, many communities give real estate incentives, either free land or discounted land, or, you know, the city owns this building, we'll lease it to you. And then when it comes to cash, you never just want to hand cash to a company. If you do this, you want to use some kind of revolving loan to where the company pays that back if they don't hit certain goals. Make it debt. So you actually get a claim against their building, their equipment, so you have some asset against that, so that if for whatever reason they don't, you know, end up delivering everything they said, you get some of your money back. So, but what you want to do as an economic development organization is work with your elected officials before the project ever comes to develop a menu of incentives that you can work off of. So, you know, let's say the 150-job plant shows up. Well, what incentives y'all gonna give us? That don't need to be the first time you've ever discussed this. You need to work to build a menu of these type incentives. Now, if you don't want to do one or the other, that's fine. But build a menu of incentives so your economic developer can flex, you know, here or there or the other as you're doing it. And then when you get to negotiating these projects, the first thing the economic developer needs to do is understand what is the revenue model of the entity you're negotiating for. So you may have a city that's primarily sales tax driven with their revenue. And your county may be property tax driven. I've seen that before. So they don't even get their money the same way. You need to think about this ahead of time. You need to think about this. How do they get their revenue? So then how can you then show them a positive return on investment? You can't just walk in and say this project's going to give you this return if you don't know how they get their money. See, I know of a town who went big time into tourism recruiting, thinking that's going to generate us a lot of sales tax. Guess what? They didn't get any sales tax. It all went to the state. This particular town got paid off payroll tax, so it really didn't do them a hill of beans of good as much as that. So economic developer, maybe we're elected. You may think, well, all elected officials know this. Certainly they don't. If they just got elected or they've only been in a year or two, they may have not ever really sat and studied where this money comes from. You need to know that, so you can then figure out how to do a return on investment. Also, understand the multiplier effect of jobs. This comes from the Brookings Institute. I'm not an economist, but they are. But you will see here, a manufacturing job, every one job, so let's say 100 jobs, would create 60 more jobs in town and 180 more jobs outside of town, local jobs to support it. And this here will show you right down to hospitals. Energy is the biggest spin-off. It's important to understand this multiplier effect. You know, if we give away this property tax abatement, what are we going to get out of these jobs over here? Then what you want to do as an economic developer is show, here's how we're going to get a positive return on investment in the long run. Here's how we're going to do it based off what it is. Then when it comes to negotiating, elected officials, you need to give your economic developer room to go negotiate off that menu that you've made by now and understanding your revenue model and a return. And then you, as the elected official, don't need to be in the middle of negotiation. You may be subject to open record. No, let your economic developer do that. Now, they will have what you want to do is create checkpoints. So that a couple of times through the process, the economic developer comes to you and say, here's what I'm thinking on incentives. Here's what they want. Here's what I think we can do. Create you some checkpoints, and then you need to give them the freedom to negotiate it. Boy, I see a lot of deals go wrong here. When there's too much, friction, too many updates. No, create some checkpoints. You know, maybe it's first, second, and third base. Come tell me when you're here. Come tell me when you're here. And let them negotiate off that menu. But it's so important to build this menu ahead of time so they can be negotiating off of that. Next, small business growth is usually all upside politically for elected officials. So as an economic development organization, you may be interested in chasing the big fish, and that may be your mission and so on and so forth. But your elected officials will need a little small business in their platform if they're going to get reelected. It's probably closer to 100% upside. I can only see small business hurting an elected official if another small business gets mad that a competitor or something did better. Other than that, it's almost all upside. How can you, as the economic development organization, help elected officials get help to small businesses? You need to provide, you know, help them figure out how can they provide access to capital. Maybe there are certain banks that will do that, certain programs. How can we provide access to educational opportunities? Maybe it's online trainings. And how can we provide access for networking? Maybe we're going to meet them, let them meet other entrepreneurs for free, or meet, have them a meeting with a lawyer for free. As an economic developer, you can help elected officials by identifying ways to do these three things. All small business growth is basically going to come from these three things. So what you want to do is just let them know of opportunities you see. But you probably want this in your program because it's so, you just turn on the news. Republican, Democrats, both, we're for small business. You can't find anybody that's not for small business. When it comes to infrastructure development, this is huge. Elected officials play a huge role in infrastructure development. Anytime you, and right now there's a lot of infrastructure money out there. Anytime you get a chance to grow your infrastructure, you want to do it. What I have here is what we consider big infrastructure. In other words, you don't have to have all this, but if you have it, you're going to be able to go and compete for almost any kind of project. So when it comes to wastewater sewer, a 10-inch wastewater line is considered big sewer. Do you have to have that? No, but you want to always be growing your infrastructure to that. What's big water? Big water is a 12-inch line with 500,000 gallons of water in a water tank. You would rather have surface water than drill well water, lakes, streams, reservoirs. Why? Because when you drill down to get water, sometimes it has iron in it. So, and that can mess with companies' processes. Does this mean if you don't have surface water, you're out of business? No. It just means if you have surface water, brag on it. You know, if you've got 10 megawatts of electricity capacity in your industrial park, you can compete for a lot of projects. Can you compete for a steel mill? No, but you can compete for 80% of projects. You probably need a plan to grow that, but you can compete for those. Redundant internet is a must, and 4 to 6 inch high pressure gas lines considered big gas. So these are, you know, if you have this infrastructure, you can compete for a lot. So what you want to do as an economic development organization is sit with your elected officials and your utility heads on a constant, you know, not constant, but say annually, and talk about how can we grow our infrastructure? If this is the goal, how do we get here? What do we need to do? And then a lot of your grants for infrastructure will flow through your cities and counties. Even if you have a, you know, even if there's a different water board, a lot of those grants will flow through them. So you want to always be working with your city and county to apply for money for all of this. When it comes to workforce development, all right? Your elected officials need to really participate or make sure three things are happening. That you have programs to help companies recruit people, that you have programs to help companies screen people and train them. So when it comes to recruiting, what do I mean? Job fairs. You want to have job fairs for companies as they're expanding right there in town or new companies coming in. Does this mean the elected official do it? No, but the elected official may lobby for it, ask the state to do it, help fund it, help staff it. They need to be aware of this. When it comes to screenings, you know, you want skill credentials. You want companies to be able to look and see how many of these skill credential people are here. And where elected officials can really help is in facilities. Paducah, Kentucky wanted a Murray State campus for years. Murray State was located in Murray, Kentucky. They wanted Murray State to have a university in Paducah, a branch campus, and Murray State wouldn't do it. For 100 years they tried, and politically they couldn't do it. Paducah built, I think the county actually, built a new college. You know, it's one building, but it's beautiful and, you know, big building with multiple labs and classrooms, and approached Murray State and said, we're building this university, whether you like it or not. If you don't want to put this university here, we'll go partner with Western Kentucky or Louisville or whoever. Like that, Murray State did it. Just like that. So that community built their own. Actually, now that I think about it, the other town I was in, Lawrenceburg, Tennessee, they built a college as well, where they're doing a similar thing, where the county built the college and leased it out to the facility, to the college. So you can really play big time in facilities when it comes to your schools and colleges and training type centers. Now, how do you measure economic development success other than just judging, did a new company come this year? Well, there are four or five ways to do that now. We do not advocate you use all of these. You'll twist yourself into paralysis by analysis. But pick one and make that your barometer. This way, economic developer, that elected official can defend you. What if he or she's out at dinner and somebody says, "Hey, you had a new plant come this year. That economic developer's doing nothing." You need them to immediately know how to defend you. Well, actually, according to the statistics, this, this, or this. So one way you can do it is to determine, are we increasing our tax revenue without raising taxes? Is more tax money coming in without raising taxes? If so, you're probably having success at economic developer. Another way you can do it is to look at your gross domestic product. You know what all these economists talk about, GDP of the country? Well, you also can track GDP of counties. And so you can see, is our GDP growing? So we'll just look at Autauga County, Alabama. It grew from 17 to 18, then it went down to 19, then went down in 20. Of course, then the pandemic hit, so who could. But you can see, is our GDP growing? If so, you're probably doing good economic development-wise. You can look at personal income percent changes. Is our income changing? Is it growing? Or the simplest way is to look at the raw number of businesses in your town. Let's say you have a business license that everybody, every business has to get. And this year you had 1,500 businesses. Next year you got 1,550. Your economy's probably growing. Those extra 50 businesses wouldn't have popped up, even if they're service businesses, if there wasn't somebody to service. Now, don't use all of these. You will tie yourself in knots. But get with your elected officials and pick one and say, this is how we're going to judge ourselves so that you know we have a metrics by which to judge economic development success. Now, once you win a big deal, I spoke at Community Development Institute, and this is a slide I put up that people liked. And I believe in this slide, but this slide has a second to it. And the second slide went up there. The best economic development teams I have seen on a day-to-day basis, the economic development person typically serves as the quarterback, the skilled people, the wide receiver, doing all this. And the elected officials serve as the offensive line, blocking for them. Now, certainly if the skilled people aren't getting it done, maybe elected officials need to make a change. But that's the way that I typically see it work best. It usually goes down when the elected officials try to become the skilled quarterback. Now they're out here negotiating deals, financing packages, land deals, and maybe they don't know all of that because they weren't trained in it. You know, how could they? So that's the way I see most economic development teams work well. However, when you land a big deal and the governor shows up and you've got the ribbon cutting or you've got whatever big to do, this totally reverses. In this instance, the economic developer and organization needs to push the elected officials to the front and give them 100% of the credit. Why? Because they have to go get votes. They fund your organization, and this is what the voters want to hear. You're getting paid to do the job. They, in many ways, are not. They're getting paid to do a bunch of stuff. So you want to reverse this when you have a big announcement. Also, this is on my mind recently. We've got 240 movement members. I cannot tell you how many have been hit with a disaster in just the last year or so, from tornadoes to hurricanes to floods, you know, just various different disasters. So it's tough when a tornado hits and your community's never thought about what would we do if one hit. I think the Economic Development Organization ought to play a role with your elected officials in doing disaster planning, getting prepared for what would we do if a disaster came. Do you need to work on this every day? No. But maybe once a quarter have a meeting on it, once every 6 months have a meeting on it, and you want to prepare yourself, and you want to know, all right, what would we do in the short term? Soon as a tornado hit, what would we do? Hint, you want to inventory all the damage and take lots of pictures so later on you can get a bunch of money from FEMA, and you want to make sure that your industries and all are up and running, and if they're not, find them temporary space. What would we do in the intermediate time? And then what would we do over the long term, you know? New Orleans is still getting Katrina money 20 years later. So I think instead of the tornado hitting and now the mayor's up there having to give press conferences, I think the EDO, the Economic Development Organization, ought to work on preparing. What would we do? And we've got videos on what you do if you want to know in here. That's not the subject of today. The subject of today is I think the Economic Development Organization needs to work with your elected officials to prepare for if that were to happen. So how do you tie it all together? Well, what you want is an environment in which the Economic Development Organization can flourish. That's what you want. And it takes elected officials, if they're funding your organization or if they're incentivizing companies to do that, to create that environment. So really what you want at the end of the day is a strategic plan that connects your economic development initiatives with other governmental policies. It's hard to be successful in economic development if you're losing in transportation, housing, public safety, workforce, and you've got a rough regulatory environment. That's hard to win. That would create an environment that didn't help you flourish, be the opposite. So what you want to do, and you can't just jump in and do this on day one, but you want to use the tactics within here over time to create an environment you can flourish in, where you tie together your economic development priorities with your city or county's transportation priorities, with their housing priorities, public safety, regulatory, so on and so forth. Make sure you stay away from political campaigns. As an economic developer, now board members, this is probably, you know, they can't because most of them are donors, so maybe they can't. But as the economic development staff, you stay out of political campaign. It's not fair to say stay out of politics because politics is in everything you do. I mean, right down to getting the grant. But you need to stay out of political campaigns. We warn this is like economic development 101, but it's worth repeating, stay out of political campaigns. So what if you try all of this and by gosh, you just can't get along with this elected official? Well, then find a donor who donates to them, that believes in your mission, that maybe can be the go-between to, you know, form a truce. That's what you want to do. Find somebody that gives them money and see if they can help you. That's what you want to do. In the case that that doesn't work whatsoever, maybe it's time to move on. Maybe it's time to move on. Life is too short to sit and work with an elected official you're never going to get along with. Y'all don't see eye to eye. Maybe it's time to move on. But I think if you look at and implement many of the tactics within this video, I think you're going to improve your chances. So feel free to contact us, 1-800-764-3105. My email is chad@thenextmovegroup.com. This video was training economic developers and ED boards and how to deal with elected officials. We have a video on elected officials training, what they ought to be doing for economic development. If you want that one, you can find it either in the movement.us or Next Move On Demand. Thank you so much.